The players, the personalities who come from around the world to play professional soccer in the United States.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible!
In a world where some call it football, football, or soccer, they dare to call it foosball. One thinks New York is blue. The other thinks New York is red. Soccer in America from a German perspective. Let them put some sauerkraut on your hot dog and join them for the Schnitzel Boys USA Hour.
Yeah! It's the USA Hour! We just did Germany Hour. This is our other love here. USA Hour, as we are, we've been described on Reddit as a hybrid podcast, I believe, because we talk about both New York Rebels and NYCFC. How many podcasts cover both topics at the same time as well as we do? Very few. There are some, but very few. We are two German guys in New York City, except one of them's not really New York City anymore.
You're in New York City? Neither of us are currently in New York City.
Oh, yeah. We got a guy in L.A., a guy in Vermont. We're talking the New York soccer scene from a German perspective, because we also got a German scene going on. But we're not oblivious to the American scene, you know. So we're going to get our perspective. There are fans that need our perspective, and we offer it. So,
and here it is. Here's our perspective. I was doing a bobblehead impression earlier. Did you notice that?
I did not. Do you have a bobblehead? Do you have one of those NYCFC bobbleheads?
No.
Is I find on your car dash.
My take on bobbleheads is that they are disappointing because they never look like the person.
Well, the whole point is the bobbles, isn't the point?
Yeah, but like a little bit of a lightness would be good. Like you get, yeah, like, definitely. For example, oftentimes, like we get, for NYCFC, we've had years ago, we got a Patrick Vieira bobblehead. And I was very excited. I was a fan of Patrick Vieira. He was an inspiring kind of guy. It was cool to meet him a couple times. And so I was hot for this bobblehead. And then you unpack this thing and it's like, it looks nothing like him. It's not even like you can sort of squint, and it's just like, it seems like there's
this one looks exactly like him. That's probably not it though. It's probably the other one. That's not gonna, let me share. You tell me which one it is. Share for a visual. Cause this guy this is pretty good. This one's pretty good. Is that it?
That was not it. Oh, the one.
Then there's one that looks really bad.
Yeah. The one to the left is the one. Yeah.
Oh, this is the third rail?
Yeah.
That doesn't look anything like him, you don't think?
No.
It looks kind of like him. Yeah. I mean, it does look, yeah, it only looks half like him, I would say.
And I recently got picked up an Ali Krieger bobblehead to celebrate the Gotham FC championship win. And nice. That also looks nothing like her. I don't have it. It's in Brooklyn, so. But
when I went to an NYCFC game once,
oh, you have done that? I don't think I knew that.
I used to go to NYCFC games all the time. I didn't tell you that. Back in the beginning, in 2015, I was there every other week.
You were leap-oigling, as we say. You were like flirting with NYCFC.
I was. Ooh. That was very true. I was flirting. I never shared that before.
No, I don't think so.
When NYCFC came into town, I didn't know. When NYCFC came into town, I went over there to see if they can win me. Mm. I challenged my New York Rebel fandom because the New York Rebels, all my frustrations with them are clear, and they were at all-time high at that time. You know, they had no, you know, this new team coming in with the big stars and all that stuff. And then I went to NYCFC to check, and I had learned that it just hardened my affiliation with the New York Rebels.
Oh.
My fandom of the New York Rebels is invincible.
Unwavering.
Let's put it that way. Unwavering. It just like sent me back. But I had good friends who had season tickets, and he missed a lot, and I always took his spare tickets, so I was always there a lot. Just for fun, because I like soccer. And I was curious in soccer, and Nike Stadium was like, you know, it was MLS, another option. Let's go. And I remember there being once a box you can step into, and it 3D scans your face and like chisels a little bobblehead or a doll with your likeness on it.
What?
Do you remember something like that?
No.
That was at Yankee Stadium. It was the only place I ever seen it. I never saw that at Red Bull.
Really?
It was a thing where you pay a thing, you go into a booth, I think it like 3D scans your face, and like chisels you into like an NYCFC action figure or something. That was really cool.
No, but I don't remember that at all. There were some times when my kids were little where face painting was a big attraction. They would have people do pretty elaborate face paints on you if so desired. And that was, a couple weeks ago, I shared a bunch of the 3D scan, that's what I'm remembering.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but that sounds fun.
The 3D scan, I'm saying I was perhaps distracted standing in line to fit for face painting for my children, so I missed the 3D life-size bobblehead opportunity.
Well, if anyone remembers in the chat, let me know or whatever. But that was a cool, I love that, because now we live in a modern day, like that kind of technology is exciting. If you're going to use AI for something, use it for that. That's very cool. But I saw that NYCFC once. I'm not sure I saw it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There I go.
And you know what's funny, for a lot of reasons, NYCFC in a lot of ways just boiled into what New York Red Bulls is in a lot of ways. It's one of those weird shadows of each other. There's a lot of similarities between the two clubs, you know, and just how they operate compared to other MLS clubs. And I don't know if it's a New York thing or a timing thing or what. Versus here in LA.
What do you mean specifically?
Well, versus here in LA, right? Here in LA, there's LA Galaxy, there's LAFC, there's New York Red Bulls, there's NYCFC. The old teams in the burbs, because at the time they couldn't afford city real estate. Then when the league got more popular, they rebranded teams, put them right into the city, and added FC at the end of it. I mean, LAFC.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a parallel.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, they just want the team now, as part of the rebrand, would like to be known as New York City FC.
Well, you mean like, oh yeah, they don't want to ever be called NYC FC?
The team is no longer. I mean, obviously the fans can do whatever they want, but the team no longer is promoting NYCFC as a thing. They would like to be known as New York City FC.
That's really, really stupid. We call that really stupid, but not in the stupid category. Let me describe the New York club to you. You tell me which one I'm describing.
Okay.
They are not owned by a local owner. They are owned by a large global conglomerate. Which of the two clubs is that?
Both of them.
They have no like superstars. They are made entirely of youngsters from the academy and obscure youngsters from Europe and South America. Which of the two am I describing?
The Red Bulls. We have Matty Friesengal, who is a superstar.
No, that doesn't count. Okay, the Iceman don't count. The only other two clubs right now, it's New York Rebels with ML Forsberg. He's like, that would be maybe the exception again. You know, of the two clubs which launched with a big star and then got rid of their stars and changed their programming to be more like what I just talked about, the Real Salt Lake style, like bringing the youngsters, bringing the experience.
Real Salt Lake style, wow. That's damning.
Well, that's literally what Thierry Henry called it. Which of the two clubs am I describing?
Well, the Red Bull started with a superstar.
Roberto Donadoni.
Okay.
We're talking about Metro Stars or Red Bulls was Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
And then it was Rafa Marquez and it was Tim Cahill.
All right.
With the Metro Stars was Roberto Donadoni. He was like the first MLS player to go play in the Euros. He went to go play in Euro 96.
Okay.
And he was a World Cup winner with Italy, I think. And then when NYCFC launched, they matched our programming. They're like, "Well,
yeah,
we had some big
ticket items, sure."
But which club decided to let them go off like Saudi Arabia to be like, all right, now that's done. We're not going to replenish. Which of the two clubs did that? Both
let,
of them.
Let anybody go to Saudi.
What I'm saying is both clubs are identical in almost every
league. Ah, okay.
And that's, for whatever reason, that happened in New York City. There's no other club anywhere else in the country that operates like that. New York City is the city where that happened. That's the best. Because we talked about this before, but have you read Bo Dior's book on MLS?
I did, yeah. It's very it's a good read.
Great read for Snapchat. The league was like, what was the big chapter, the last chapter of that book? You remember?
No.
It was about MLS's goal to get a second team in New York. MLS in New York City. It was their big, big project. We need to get a second team in New York. So they did that, and the league engineered both New York teams, one at the launch and one here in 2013, 2014. And, you know, they both sort of were the same thing. They're like, Red Bull's a big group, and then we'll get this new team. And, you know, local owners didn't step up, and Don Garber pulled a fast one and got his buddy Ferran Soriano involved over at City Football Group or whatever. You know, and then MLS essentially engineered these two teams, and they're run very similarly. You know, there you go. There you go. We're here in LA, both teams, local owners, big players, big stadiums, right where they need to be. LA is what MLS wished New York did, pretty much.
Well, this Thursday is a big rally at City Hall, because that is presumably, fingers crossed, when the City Council will officially approve the stadium, and then that's going to happen, and that'll change everything.
Yeah, that'll be big. I mean, yeah, that'll definitely be the next step in the New York soccer wars. If I were the head of Red Bull, I would then double the expansion of my stadium in New Jersey, so that our stadium is.
You need a bigger. That's the problem of Red Bull Arena. It's not big enough.
Well, I would make it, because your thing is we're in the city. It's like, cool, have fun with your tin can 20,000 seater stadium. We're out in Jersey where we got space. This is a 40,000 seater stadium out here. We're big. We're epic. Epic mealtime out here. But I digress. I don't work for the Red Bulls, so I can't make that happen. But anyway, I digress.
All right. Okay.
I digress. So New York City FC and New York Red Bulls 2 have vibrant youth programs, doing it right. They're both playing in the Generation Adidas Cup. They both competed in the U.S. Open Cup, and NYCFC won last week.
That was the only bit of good news that's happened in my soccer life the last few weeks.
Hat trick by a 22-year-old unknown kid. Good for him.
Jonathan Menes, yeah. It was a little flattering. The result, the Red Bulls, to credit to the Red Bulls, they played better than this result expresses. It was a pretty close game. And also NYCFC sent some first team players to help out. So it was a pretty even match.
Right, there you go. However, of the youth programs, one should be much prouder than the other. Because one did something really big that transcends the pitch. Well, the other wasn't involved, so I'm just being epic here. But
the hype train is
maybe
real.
NYCFC would do the same thing. But the New York Red Bulls U17 and U15 teams had to pull themselves out of the Generation Adidas.
This is okay. I got it now. All right.
They made that choice themselves because the league wasn't helping. The league doesn't care. Even though they just announced that huge racial policy, discriminatory language policy a month ago, apparently they have no interest in enforcing it. Because the New York Red Bulls players, U15s against a Croatian club, Hajduk Split, were subject to racial discriminatory language. And MLS found that they were going to do nothing. They was like, we will not do any action, was what they said. So the New York Red Bulls are like, well, he just called us racial slurs. I mean, what's this? the heck is your official stance that you announced on Apple TV a month ago if you're not going to actually do anything about it? So without help of the league, the New York Red Bulls made a unilateral decision. I believe I'm using that word right. And they said, we are pulling ourselves out. Damn the league. We could care less about MLS Next. We're not going to subject our players to that kind of racism anymore. And then Philadelphia Union U-17 teams beat Flamengo's U-17s from Brazil 2-0. And apparently Flamengo threw some discriminatory language at Philly U-17, which is very interesting to me for reasons I'm going to get into maybe in a little bit. And they also pulled out of the tournament. No. Flamengo was, I think, banned from the tournament because MLS decided to do action on that one. However, if it weren't for the noise the Red Bulls made 2 days before that, MLS would have ignored that one too. So I'm very disappointed in MLS's actions here. First and foremost, if you're going to offer a policy, enforce it. Okay? It leads to a bigger discussion because we see a lot of this going on in the game today. A lot of it in Spain, a lot of it in Italy, you know, some in England, I'm sure some in Germany too. Even though I can't think of too many stories in Germany, but that could be just related to them not reporting it properly. You know, and it's like, how do we solve this, right? In Spain, you got the head of the league coming out being like, we're doing our best. It's like, are they, you know. Now you got MLS coming with their policy, be like, we have a policy, blah, blah, blah. This is how we will do it. You know, they were rescinding the penalties they gave last year to the individuals. And then it's happening. And we're like, okay, MLS, your move. And they decided to do nothing. The New York Red Bulls had to act on themselves. The players got together, made a decision, and they pulled themselves out of the cup because they said, screw this. And then when it happened again, Flamengo versus Philly, the league finally grew a pair and they kicked Flamengo out of the cup. So I just want to call attention to that. That's what's been happening in the Generation Adidas Cup for our MLS Next and teams. You know, aren't they subject to the same policy that the senior teams are? You know what I mean? That's A. B, I'm very curious. They never get into the specifics of what's actually said. I mean, I guess it's a whole can of worms. But I'm very curious.
Sure is.
Bjor. It's definitely good. I'm very curious the specifics. Because Hajduk Split and Flamengo youth clubs come from very poor areas of the world. Versus the New York Red Bulls and the Philly youth academies come from much more affluent areas in the world. The reason I'm curious about the specifics is because is this sort of is this like a peak in just cultural differences, you know? Like kids from Eastern Europe saying racial slurs doesn't surprise me one bit. I'm not going to get that. But kids from Flamengo, I mean, I'll put money on that a large majority of that team are kids of color. So versus the Philly U squad, I mean, if you told me the Philly U squad had more players of color than the Flamengo U squad, I'd find that to be, you know, I'd buy it, but I'd find it to be interesting, something definitely to think about. And then you think to yourself, a less affluent team like Flamengo, they're charged with discriminatory language? Could it be a cultural difference just where they come from? That's how they talk. As a kid who spent time in Brazil, I kind of understand what that's like. Granted, it was 20 years ago, so I don't know how times have changed since then. You know, it just makes me think about some things. That's all. I just want to touch on it. I'm just very curious about the specifics of it, even though I understand it makes no sense to tell us the specifics about it. But it's just something interesting to think about.
It's a complicated issue, right? Especially when it comes to international. It's difficult to apply the same standard on every person in the world. You know, what language do they even talk to each other in? And obviously there's some foul language being used on the field between teams. It's just hard to police, and it's even harder to police when it comes to international groups with varying cultural references and English speaking skills. And it's difficult. I don't have a good solution for it.
Also, they're getting heated. They're emotionally very vulnerable. They're tired. They're exhausted. Yeah. They're angry.
Right. And they're teenage kids. You know, they're not
right.
They're not professionals. They're not like they have not been media trained to within an inch of their lives. Hopefully, so yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. It's also, yeah, I mean, it also, you know, I think it's not the same thing, but it's the P word in Mexican games. It's sort of like you give these people a lot of power, you know, if you have these kinds of like, oh, we're going to go home or we're going to interrupt the game or we're not going to play. It's like giving these people more power maybe than they should have. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't have it. I don't have an answer.
I like that you brought that up because first I just want to say, the big moral of the story is they're doing something. You know, they're doing MLS Next. It took them a while. They didn't do it the first time, but they did the second time. So they got into it. It is a complicated issue, but they are doing something. They are saying it isn't acceptable. They did send Flamengo home. They are trying to manage it. But what kind of communication does it give, or what kind of message does it send if kids are being sent home for yelling a thing, but then you watch Mexico play and the entire stadium yells the P word for 10 years straight and no one does anything about it? It's very clearly a show. There's going to be no real punishments or sanctions to that. They're like, if money's involved, you're allowed to be racist. But if there's no money involved, then we're allowed to crucify you for being racist. Like, what kind of message does that send?
Yeah, it's...
Do you want?
Like I said, I don't have any... I would not want to be in charge of this myself either. I mean, we also heard when there were details... Like the Dante Venzier story for the Red Bulls, we all agreed that was pretty heavy-handed, that whole shebang.
Some did, some didn't. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a little gray sometimes. And also, there was never any official sources on that. I mean, he heard it from himself. Right. But if he didn't have an interview with that Belgian-based newspaper, no one would have heard anything. Because MLS keeps that under wrap and key. You know,
right.
Which was a whole nother thing. So anyway, I just want to touch on that. That's been going on. It's happening. They're doing it. Philly beat Flamengo 2-0. That's huge. I love the fact that a Philly team is beating a Brazilian youth team 2-0. Because unlike Europe, the Brazilian youth teams are there to win. They're not there for training. European youth teams like a Borussia Dortmund are there to get their right winger's legs stronger or something. They have different motivations. But in South America, the U17 team is just bigger, best, winning. That's all. So if we're going to play youth teams from anywhere, the South American ones, if you get W's on those, that's big. That's big. The other bit of youth news I want to talk about, which I should have touched on last week, and it really pisses me off, is the Kevin Sullivan news. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know about Kevin Sullivan?
The kid from Philly?
Yeah.
What's pissing you off?
We're talking about him. No, he's 15? 14.
14.
He signed a $100 million deal with Manchester City.
$100 million? No.
He signed a big deal with Manchester City, and then he's going to play here until he's 16 and go over there. And I love that deal, by the way. I'm not against that deal. That's it. But we need to stop talking about it. There are way too many articles about him being the wonder kid. There are way too many people talking about how he's the next big thing. There's way too many people talking about him and how he's playing, he's assisting, he's doing this and that. He's 14, guys.
Leave him alone.
Germans don't talk about 14-year-olds. Brazilians don't talk about 14-year-olds. Brits don't talk about 14-year-olds. Spaniards don't talk about 14-year-olds. Italians don't talk about 14-year-olds. Because they know. You just got to look at your 18-year-olds, right? A lot can happen between the 14-year-old Kevin Sullivan and the 18-year-old Kevin Sullivan. In fact, there's a 99.9% chance he's going to flush out and be a low-level pro at best. Okay?
99.
So,
okay. Yeah, maybe.
Or 99. What? Like, he's 14. He doesn't need to see articles. He's a 14-year-old young kid. He doesn't need to see people talking about him on Reddit. He doesn't need to see articles about him. He just needs to go play soccer and be the best he can be. Leave him alone. Okay? That's my thing on Kevin Sullivan.
100%.
And there's way too much press. There's way too much press on him. Have we learned nothing about Freddie Adu, for crying out loud? So that's my little Kevin Sullivan rant.
Okay. Let's stop talking about him.
Yeah, I'm part of the problem. The other thing I want to talk about before we get in MLS, and please stop me if you have something to talk about, is we did not do well in the CONCACAF Champions League last week, Bjorn.
No, MLS did not.
MLS did very poorly in the CONCACAF Champions League last week.
Yeah.
Very poorly. And the New England Revolution lost 4-0 at home to Club America. We were kind of expecting that.
Yeah.
Because the Revs are just a dumpster fire.
The Revs are not good, and America are good.
Columbus Crew versus Tigres was supposed to
be. I watched that game, and they were trying, to their credit. Like, that was a closer game than it seemed. But, I mean, in the end, it was also nothing. The results were nothing.
Was Wilfred Nancy in the right to suspend Cucho Hernandez for a disciplinary reason for that game?
I don't know what happened there. Do we know what he did?
The MLS refuses to release that information.
Yeah. So
all I hear on the Reddit boards are he was subbed off earlier and they yelled at each other and he yelled at him in the locker room. So Wilfred Nancy is like, you're out for 2 weeks or whatever. But let me riddle you this. If Harry Kane yelled at Thomas Tuchel at the bench for being off early last week, would Thomas Tuchel bench him for the Arsenal game tomorrow for disciplinary reasons?
Harry Kane would never do such a thing.
That's not what I'm asking.
It's not in his nature.
Let's pretend he did. Let's pretend he got heated and then Tuchel went at it. And then they got Arsenal tomorrow. Will Tuchel bench Harry Kane for disciplinary reasons tomorrow? Let's pretend.
No, probably not. Well, never know.
Of course he's not.
No, but there are things that he could do that would get him benched for this game. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Harry Kane's not that kind of guy.
Name any precedents where that happened for big games. Where a guy gets benched because of disciplinary reasons. So they're not going to play on the big game.
I got nothing.
There's not too many I can think of.
Yeah.
So Cucho's your star striker. Sure, he yelled. It's inappropriate. Suspend him for the MLS game, man. If you're going to do something, be like, you're playing in this game, but we're going to suspend you for the MLS game over the weekend. You got to manage it differently. If you have firepower, you use it. The reason they're not going to get through the semis because he benched his star player for disciplinary reasons, which shows that MLS does not care about CONCACAF Champions Cup, which they should. They only care about their freaking League's Cup. Typical nonsense. And, you can blame the ref all day.
I know they used to care about this a lot. Like, I know this was on their minds. They cannot be happy with this outcome. I'm not sure. Obviously, yeah, we don't know what the details are, the Cucho situation, but we lost
so much. Monterey beat us in Miami. New England lost 4 goals in Boston, and Columbus lost a player and did a home tie 1-1 against Tigres. It's mm-hmm. pathetic. We need to do better. And this is the quarterfinals. I mean, with Lionel Messi, maybe Inter Miami could do a miracle in Monterey next week. Maybe that could happen. But Columbus and New England, I think they're out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what's Columbus going to do in Tigres? And then we'll have maybe one team. And that leads to something I talked about on my TikTok. It's like, not only are we losing, they're beating us domestic players.
Stefan the soccer guy.
Stefan the soccer guy. Not only are we losing.
I'm promoting your TikTok.
That's right, baby. I think this video about Mexican players got over 1,000 hits.
Let's go.
Mexican clubs are not only are dominating us, they're dominating us with Mexican players. There's some foreigners. I'm saying they're not. But American clubs are losing with foreign players. So they can't even buy the better foreigners. So it's like, unless it's Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez and Sergio Busquets, That's the only hope we have. That our scouting is maybe not as tight as the Mexican club. So not only are we're losing with foreign talent. So it's just very depressing. And year after year, it's the same dumb mistake. I want us to do better. Should CONCACAF revamp the tournament a little bit? I think yes. I think they should put it in the fall as opposed to the spring, because then less clubs are more informed then. I believe that Mexican clubs are also just as informed then. I think it makes more sense. But for whatever reason, they're sticking with their spring. So I know it's not perfect. But still, American clubs just fail week in, week out, year after year after year after year. I know Seattle won. That's the exception. But for the most part, it's been failures. I think in the history of this tournament, we've only beaten them in Mexico twice. And that was recently. Ever. Twice. They've beaten us like 20, 30 times on this side of the border. So, CONCACAF, do better. Do better, MLS. Care about the Champions Cup. Figure it out. All right, Bjorn, you're up. NYCFC. Let's go. Let's go. NYCFC. Tell us.
Fart noise.
Is that it?
I mean, always a pleasant time. I gotta say, I will say this, Citi Field this time, very nice. You know, get a little look at our future stadium site, which is getting more and more real. And
did you take a trip out there? Did you take a look?
Well, it's right next to Citi Field, so it's like you can just kind of look at it off the subway or.
Oh, is it that near? Oh, yeah, that's right. Next, right by the tennis.
It's right next door, yeah. And the food is better at Citi Field than it is at Yankee Stadium. So it was pretty cold, actually. It was definitely a little chilly evening. But a very, very lackluster performance again. Took a lead on a Santi Rodriguez penalty on a pretty soft and a little bit of a soft call, I thought. The referee went to the, you know, called the penalty, went to the monitor for a long time, and I was like, all right, there goes that one. But he came back and stood by his decision, which it doesn't usually happen, so that was a pleasant surprise. And so that then got the lead, then got an equalizer in the second half on a counterattack. We were just still very vulnerable with the long ball over the top, or Thiago Martins, our DP center back, still seems extremely mediocre. And then there were a lot of efforts. The team is definitely trying. There were a lot of subs. There were a lot of effort. There was a lot of energy, but there's not a lot of offensive flow, and it didn't generate even a ton of chances. Santi Rodriguez had probably the best one with a late shot that was saved by Brad Guzan. Brad Guzan had actually a couple of pretty good saves. And it just kind of left you again with this feeling of it's not quite flipping. It's not quite flowing. The team is not quite flowing. And then there were the Cushing out chance, which have become standard procedure. We just kind of went home thinking, how is this going to get better?
Yeah. Sucks.
Matty Freese had another good game. It's never a good sign when your goalie is your favorite player. It's sort of like in 2015 when everybody loved Josh Saunders because he was, you know, he just had a lot of opportunity to do stuff.
I didn't love Josh Saunders. I thought he was out of his depth and not quality. No, that's why.
Yeah, no, I Johnson for no, no, two. I agree. I agree. I mean, he was a very likable guy, and he was fighting hard and behind a pretty poor defense. So he got some good. He was very popular with the fans, and I think I could see that. But it wasn't, you know, it's a sign. That's what I'm saying. It's a sign of a team not really doing well. If you're very focused on how great the goalie is.
Yeah. So do you see what I got here on the screen here?
Oh, are we?
These are the supporters.
Oh, you're in first. Standing. You're in first.
We are in first.
Wow.
We're number one.
Wow.
We're
number all one. Right. Well, good for you.
Vancouver, Philly, Miami, LA, Columbus, Cincy, Salt Lake. They're all underneath us, baby. Where? number one. Now, granted, I think we have 7 games for Vancouver and Philly are with 6 each. Give it up for Vancouver, by the way. They are having a pretty solid little season. LA Galaxy are back. Miami, obviously, with their Messi train starting early. It's doing well for them. Messi did get off the bench, finally got some minutes. He's healthy. Let's hope he stays healthy because I have tickets to see him in a month. Let's hope he's healthy over the next month. Okay. Emelin Forsberg's back. Dante Van Zier got himself a nice goal. Dante Van Zier is slowly opening. And everything is still thumbs up for the New York Red Bulls. Now, I have seen this before. This is old man MLS talking. Sandro Schwartz, Emil Forsberg, Dante Van Zier, even Jochen Schneider for a lot of it. These are European dudes. Now, so is Lewis Morgan, who is playing like a player possessed right now. Even though he missed a penalty over the weekend. Doesn't matter. We still won. We went to Cincinnati. We beat Cincinnati. And the reality is starting off strong is great. It's better than the way we started off last year. But the sad reality of MLS, which I've said before, in the great words of disgraced legendary coach Bruce Arena, the second half of the season is the season. So these boys
are playing well. The business end of the season.
The business end. Sandro Schwartz says his guy is ready to go. Are they going to have the same momentum and speed going into the end of the season as they are the beginning of the season? Now, there's been very few examples of that being the case. I can think of New England Revolution a couple seasons ago, right? But how'd their playoffs go? Usually get eliminated first round, if that's the case.
We beat them on our way MLS Cup victory, yeah.
Yeah, and then that season is a perfect example. You were going to fire Ronnie Dial a month before that.
But some people were, yeah. Well,
people were. The way it works here, I remember the LA Galaxy and the Seattle Sounders is of old and new. The way they do it is they pick up steam around August. August is when it has to start for you guys, for an MLS Cup winning team. So I love the New York Rebels are playing good soccer. I love it. However, are these Europeans in for a rude awakening? Because the MLS season is just a unique little puppy, a unique little baby. Mm-hmm. And are they going to lose steam right when a couple other clubs are going to come in, like a Philly, maybe like an LA Galaxy, maybe like a Cincy, an Atlanta? Who knows?
Let me tell you from my perspective, this was last season, this season too, when our team is poor, this gets brought up constantly. That's like, well, in 2021, we were very bad. We had a bad... Not every team that's bad in the beginning
picks up
and comes around. Right. It's not a good thing. It's good if you're good. Like it's better to be good than to be bad. Sometimes people also just, you know, teams also stay good. Like get out, touch some grass, smell the roses, enjoy this while it's happening, and don't look for trouble. Maybe it'll go down the drain. I would rather be where you are than where we are.
Yeah, I'm very happy where we are. I mean, maybe it's just another Supporter Shield season. I'll take it. We haven't had one of those in a while. I'll take that.
We have three teams. The thing is always the points average in my mind. It's very rare that a team in MLS averages 2 points per game or more for an entire season. That is not a usual thing. And so right now we have three teams. Not all three of those will keep that up. And probably none of them will keep that up. But they're still going to be up there, most likely.
Yeah, Vancouver with 2.17 right now, highest league.
Yeah.
Well, I think the profile of a team that can pick up steam towards the second half of the season, I see an LAFC doing something like that. When Denny Bawanga's more plugged in, and when they get Olivier Giroud over the summer too, you know. Like I think Seattle and LA used to do that back when they were defending champs.
He could be a real beast in MLS.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Olivier Giroud is no joke. I mean, he's in the top games. He's at AC Milan alongside Christian Pulisic. He's not really a has-been. He's still a pretty dang valuable little
goalscorer. Yeah, he's definitely up there in age, but he's not never been super mobile anyway. So
He was part of the French team that played Germany a week ago, I believe. I think he almost scored there towards the end.
Came off the bench, yeah.
Came off the bench there, yeah.
They looked. You know, they definitely were more dangerous with him over Thuram. That's true.
And same with the Cincy. They're seventh now. But, like, I think the traditional – the teams that did well the season prior, they didn't come with a late swing. But you know, I don't want to poo-poo too much of that. New York Rebels crushing it. Let's keep it up, boys. Our biggest Achilles heel since day one has always been the playoffs. When it's time for the playoffs, all of a sudden we were dominating all season. Then the playoffs come around and we just can't get past the Columbus Crew all of a sudden, you know. So, but I don't have to worry about that right now. That's at the business end. We're still here in the spring end, and the New York Red Bulls, thumbs up. Thumbs up. Thumbs up.
And we have New England coming to town, coming to Yankee Stadium on Saturday. It's probably a must win, maybe, for Nick Cushing. We have we have three more home games right now in a row. We have New England, DC, and Charlotte at home. Oh, and Colorado, a fourth one into May. We don't have a road game until May 11th. So by that time, we will know where we're at.
The New York Rebels, I believe. No, it's pretty even. They're coming to L.A. In 2 weeks' time, so I'm going to try to go to that game.
Yeah, so you're going to go.
New York Rebels host
Chicago
next week.
They're a hot ticket. They're a hot ticket now, the Red Bulls.
Yeah, if I can get tickets to that. I think the away tickets to that game are already sold out or something. I need to double check. Rebels hosting Chicago at L.A., hosting Vancouver. That'll be a big game. At Miami, which I'll be at, hosting New England. And then they're at DC United and then at NYCFC. Oh, yeah, it's looking like we have a decent amount of road games coming up. But then, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty even. So good for you for having a row of home games.
We'll see. My AirPods are about to die, so maybe...
I have no other topics to talk about. Wanted to bring up essentially the Kevin Sullivan, the GA stuff. Our clubs are doing fine. The U.S. Men's National Team on a healthy break. USL, one last topic. USL was on CBS over the weekend.
Ooh.
Big CBS, main CBS.
Soccer's happening.
It was a full house. Just want to give a shout-out to a great USL display. Full house, Indy 11 versus Louisville City, I believe. Fun game over the weekend. Good for them. Good for them. Okay. That has been U.S. Soccer Week. Please, if you have any questions, email us. Let me just grab our thing. That's been the USA Hour. Tschüss. This is Kavalka. Like, subscribe, smash that button. Head on our merch shop.
Smash
See you
it.
At the games. Smash it.
Don't
if you're NYCFC.
Don't just press it. Smash it.
You can see us at Galaxy Games, LAFC Games, Rebels Games, and NYCFC Games. We'll be there. Cheers!